David said this morning that he had an appreciation for beauty. So he ought to have an excellent view to appreciate my beauty this morning, this evening.
Yeah, here comes Becky.
Here comes Becky. He appreciated your beauty already. Now he can appreciate mine.
Amen. That's right.
There was a pastor that had called us for forebeating the church, forebeating before his before the service had started. He said, at the end of service, I want there to be a church forebeating after the service immediately following if everybody for the church board will meet at the back. Then he proceeded on for his message, and after the message, he went back to the back and. And everybody had already gathered back there. And he looked and he said, man, that's a strange face. He said, friend, he said, you're new here today, aren't you? He said, yes, sir. He said, you understood that this is supposed to be a church for me. He said, yeah. He said, after that sermon you just preached, he said, I reckon I'm just about as bored as any other member of this church. But I'm hoping that's not going to be the case tonight. If you got your Bibles, if you turn to Isaiah 12, you got to get me back.
Not as much as she did.
No, but this
is. It'll soak in after a while. You think about it.
It wasn't me, Dyson.
I'm up in the seat.
Isaiah 12.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Let's read the whole chapter. You got it? Isaiah 12 and 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. And behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.
Yes.
Thank you for your word that thank speaks you. Life to us.
Thank you.
I thank you, God, for the peace and direction you give us this evening. Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask that you teach us through your word and enlighten our minds and our hearts and our understanding so that we'll know your word and be able to receive it with confidence. And apply it to our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I wanted to draw your attention to verse 3. It says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I've heard, I believe it was Kenneth E. Hagin, years ago, I've heard it, which I'm sure he said it even years prior to that. He said, anytime you see therefore, find out what it's there for. And so let's find out what therefore is there for in this scripture. Get that?
Yes.
Amen. All right. It says, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Now this Isaiah here, this scripture is actually, from my understanding, it's talking about their Israel's freedom from bondage, the Egyptian bondage. But I looked at it, I said, man, we can apply that to our lives right now, because we've been free from a greater bondage than the Egyptian bondage. We've been free from the bondage of sin.
Amen.
And I kind of looked at it as like, all right, I will praise the Lord. He was angry with me because of my sin, but I'm redeemed now. His anger has turned away from me, and now he comforts me. Jesus was that atoning sacrifice. He was the propitiation. I say that word right, propitiation. that atoning sacrifice. David saw give us a picture of that last Sunday. Now the Father looks at us and he don't see any sin anymore. He sees us as dear children. He comforts us with his promises of his word and his abiding presence. In verse 2 it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." So God is my salvation. I'm going to trust in God. He's my Savior. I'm not going to be afraid. It doesn't matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter what I face, what obstacles come my way. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be in fear. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm just going to trust God because I know that he's got my back. I know he's going to make me prosper. And no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Amen. 1,000 might fall on one side and 10,000 on the other side, but God's got my back. Nothing's going to hurt me. And all this praise and all this rejoicing, it causes us to be strengthened with joy. And we wind up seeing that God is, he's a faithful God. He says in the end of that verse, he said, he's my salvation. Like we wind up seeing, I got salvation because of not just my sin, but he takes care of my every need, everything that I have.
Thank you.
And then it comes into verse 3, and we find out that this is what it was all there for. That with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. So all the singing, all the praise, and all the rejoicing I do is of who God is and what he's done for me. And that allows me, all that rejoicing allows me to pull up and draw up from that well of salvation.
Amen.
I looked at the word, the definition for joy there is actually rejoicing. It's joy, it's rejoicing, gladness, delight. So another way, you wouldn't be an injustice if you were to read that. Therefore, with rejoicing shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Amen.
So rejoicing is vital for us. Now, we learned from David and Holly about the keys of the kingdom. And Holly had mentioned that there's an application that needs to be done with those keys. You've got to be able to use them. If you got a key, but you don't have no access, no way to use it. One of the main ways I've seen that we use this faith key is by our mouth. What we say, what comes out of our mouth. You see that with the woman with the issue of blood. And she said, she said within herself, if I may just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole.
Yes.
And so there was a faith activation there. Then she went forth and she tried to touch the hem of his garment. And when she went forth to do it, that was another application of faith, or activation, rather, of faith. Another one is rejoicing. Now, I just experienced some of this, and that's what led to me being here tonight and speaking. I was sharing it with David, and he's like, I want you to teach on that. And so that's what I'm doing. Last Wednesday night I was here, Wednesday night before last, I missed service. I had a great day at work. Great day at work. Worked hard. Well, I don't know how hard I worked, but I worked. I didn't die. But I listened to Audible. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's basically you can get an audio book and you can listen to it. So I was listening to my Audible book, and I had different Christian authors I've been listening to, and it's like, man, just getting educated and getting learned, you know, and listening to the word, listening, worshiping God, and had a great day doing that. And as soon as I clocked out, all of a sudden, a headache attacked me. And headaches that I've had in the past is not a good part of the time. I can tell it's an attack, and it's a debilitating time. And I said, man, I ain't gonna go with this. And I went home and decided, I said, well, I'll eat some supper. And I ate supper and I didn't feel no better. Matter of fact, I felt worse. Then Holly, she was gonna go ahead and get ready to go to church. I said, well, I'm gonna lay down for a little while, see if it'll go away. And it didn't go away. So then I decided, I said, well, I'm gonna take an Epsom salt bath. Maybe my muscles, you know. And I was trying to do everything I could do. Now, I'd already spoke over myself. I pled the blood of Jesus. I applied the blood. I said, I rebuked that pain and said, get out of me. And I was laying in the bathtub. Now, this is the importance of praying in the spirit. I was laying in the bathtub and I was just praying in the spirit. And I was asking God, I said, Holy Spirit, I was actually talking to the Holy Spirit, I think, at that point. I said, I know what Jesus did for me. By his stripes, I was healed. Himself took. I know that. But how do I get that, what happened, what I know transpired, to come into my body right now? Because I need some relief. My head hurts. And I was holding on to faith, but all of a sudden, and I knew this, but the Holy Spirit will remind you. He's there to comfort you, to bring back to your remembrance the things that Jesus has said. And the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, he said, this verse comes to me, the one we just read, Isaiah 12:3. With joy, you'll draw water from the wells of salvation.
Hallelujah.
And I said, oh.
Thank you.
I said, okay. You want me to laugh for a little while? So I laughed. Man, I did not feel like laughing. If anybody's ever had one of the migraine kind of headaches, you don't feel like doing anything. And I laughed. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. And I probably didn't coin it, but in my mind, I coined it. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. And so I laughed. And then after I laughed, I mean, it felt bad. I decided, I said, I'm just going to rejoice in God. That word rejoice is going back and rejoicing. It's revisiting something that God has already done.
Yes,
it's revisiting God's faithfulness. Like the beginning of those verses talked about, it said, revisit what God has done. God has been my salvation. He has been my redeemer. He's freed me from this bondage. He's done so much for me.
Hallelujah.
So I've got a reason to rejoice. And if I revisit that joy and I begin to rejoice again, joy again, rejoy, rejoy, rejoy. So I was laying there and I rejoiced. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You are my Redeemer. You have healed me. By your stripes I was healed and I am healed and I thank you for it. And it won't long. I started feeling a little bit better. Wasn't gone yet. I got out of the bathtub. Got sitting in the recliner, long Holly got home from service, and I had another thought. Felt like the Holy Spirit just put it right in my spirit. He said, you need to laugh in faith, and you need to get Holly to laugh in faith, and you need to get Holly to lay her hands on you while she's laughing in faith. And so that's what I did.
Hallelujah.
And now you look at Holly. How often do you see her get out in this character to where she starts laughing loud? Now, Becky, if the Lord has said you need to get Becky to laugh in faith, now that'd make sense.
Yeah.
Becky, you hear her. She's been laughing the whole time, hasn't she?
Yeah.
But he said you need to get Holly to laugh in faith. So I said, Holly, I said, I need you to laugh in faith and lay your hands on me. And so she began to pray in the spirit, and then she began to laugh. I laughed, and she laughed out loud. She just laughed with me, and we laughed, and she laid hands on me, and strength went into me.
Hallelujah.
Strength went into me. I started feeling better. By the time I got ready to go to bed that night, I was fine.
Hallelujah.
I was fine. But there's strength, there's joy that comes.
Yes.
It says, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If he's your strength, then all that, if I'd have laid there and said, man, and sat there and said, I feel so bad. Oh, my head hurts so bad. What am I going to do? God, please make my head stop hurting. And I'd have dwelt so much on the pain. My focus, what you focus on, you empower. And if I'd have focused on the pain and what I didn't have. But when I started realizing, like we talked about with the dog chasing his tail, when I started realizing, Curtis, you already got this, and the way that you're going to draw it out of that well that God's already placed within you is you're going to do it through rejoicing. You're going to do it through joy. So you've got to get out of that sorrow and start rejoicing.
Yes, amen. Glory to God.
My breakthrough came through joy and rejoicing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Now, it's not a hard concept. It's not a great theological, philosophical thing to where only a few people can do and even few people can understand. rejoicing is something that we can all do.
Yes.
It's something that we can all understand and we can all apply in our lives. We make things so difficult sometimes. Things of God ain't that difficult. He wants us to get it. It's not a promise that he's holding over here. Like, have you ever had something and you got a little kid and you hold it up here and you're jumping up, trying to get it? Like, no. And when he starts to get it, you raise your hand a little bit higher. God's not doing that with us. He wants us to receive what he's got for us. He's like, I got you. I got this for you. And there's a way to get to it. And I've laid it out in my scripture, and I just want you to step into the way. Into the way. The other day, I think it was Tuesday, I was listening to Sid Roth. And I was listening to it on my headphones while I was working. And I told Holly about this. And it was I don't remember the man's name, but he was talking about how depressed he had gotten at one point in his life where he was ready to commit suicide. He had put the gun up, and he showed where he had put it up to. And all of a sudden, I had a flashback. And I remembered some of the times. Like, I knew God had saved me. I knew God had done stuff for me. But I had this flashback. I remembered it so vividly, and it hit me so strong. I saw there was a time when I was younger, and I went on a crack. I was bad in the drugs. I went on a crack and alcohol binge, and I went out and through a series of events, wound up driving my truck down the railroad tracks. How stupid is that? But we spent the night in my truck on the railroad tracks. And a train could have come at any time during that point and killed us. I mean, that train wouldn't have known what was up. And then the next day, I was so depressed. Depression had gotten hold of me. I was so depressed that I sliced my arms up. And at that point, I wasn't serious about committing suicide because I knew I was raised in church. I knew you don't want to go to hell first. But I was so depressed, I cut myself anyway. Years later, I was bad off on drugs. I stayed in and out, bad off on drugs. And I had gotten to such a low point. I don't remember all the events that led up to it. But I had a .22 pistol that used to be my dad's. He had already passed away at this point. And I had it hid in my closet, in my bedroom. There was one of them hidden closets. It's like a storage closet. I had it hid in there, but then there was some boards that come down with insulation there. I had it hid underneath the insulation in that closet. And I was so upset and so depressed at that time, I was ready to end it all. And I went home looking for that .22 pistol, because I was going to shoot myself in the head. And that's one of the things that when I saw that, I heard that by Sid Roth, that it triggered these memories. And I was determined then I was going to shoot myself. Little did I know, and my mama probably did not even realize she was being led by the Spirit of God. There's no way that somebody could have found that on their own. I had it hid underneath the insulation. Nobody would ever look in a place like that. And she had gone in there, and she found that gun and hid it. And I think she actually wound up selling it and getting rid of it. But I went home that day to go get that gun. I already pictured it in my mind and imagined it, what I would do. And I was ready to kill myself. And I said, if I don't kill myself, I'll at least blow the side of my face off. Maybe I'll have time to repent. But either way, I was planning on killing myself. But she had got in there. I believe the Lord had led her to where that was, and she got in and hid it. And I got help. I didn't get help necessarily then, but the Lord saved me.
Yes,
but I got realizing where God has brought me from.
Yes.
And some of the things that I've seen that God has done in my life. And one of the things I began to see is the need for joy. Not just for the world, because they're in a depressive state, but the need for joy and rejoicing as an attitude, as a daily practice in our lives. Because I was raised in church. I was in church every Sunday. Matter of fact, it seemed like I remember Mama talking about, you know, hey, look, like they're having baseball practice or whatever it was on Wednesday nights, like, we was torn. Like, she wanted us, you got service, you're supposed to be in service. And did we have all the same teaching as what we have now? No, but we had enough that we knew. But depression's a bad thing. It can make you do things that you never thought that you would. And I had got to that point where sin had got hold of me. And if we would have that attitude of a rejoicing attitude, a hope, there's a hope that comes up. There's an expectation because I know God has done it before.
Yes.
And he's going to do it again. He's been faithful here. I know he's going to be faithful here. And when I experience the faithfulness here and I rejoice in that, then I see I'm facing something here, and oh, he's going to be, he was faithful there. He was faithful there. This ain't nothing. He's going to be faithful again, and each step I take, I know that God's going to, he's got me. He's got my back.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord's our strength.
Thank you.
We got an anointing of joy on the inside.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we got stirred up. And part of that way we stir it up is we rejoy. We got to revisit that joy.
Yes.
So I'll take time. I'll revisit that joy. Sometimes I don't feel like rejoicing. It's the times when you don't feel like rejoicing. That's probably when you ought to do some extra rejoicing. I shared before, I think Holly would say, she looked at me sometimes, or I'll talk, she's like, I think you need to laugh some. I think you need to rejoice some. I said, ha, 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 ha. And sometimes I might be thinking, like, just mind your own business, you know. I know what I need to do. I don't need your help. But I do need her help. She's my helpmate.
Amen.
And she's got my best interest at heart. And she stirs me up sometimes. I told her the other day, not very often I get to tell her, but I told her the other day, she said, can you go get me one of the McCedrins? I said, yeah, I'll get you one. I carried it to her. I said, I think you need to laugh some. It's good medicine. Joy rejoices, and rejoicing, it strengthens us. But one of the things it also does is it enables us to be able to see. Like we had talked about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you see something that's not in peace, that's not in the right vein, that's like, man, this is not good. This is something that's going to take away from my peace. It's going to take away from my joy. It allows us to recognize it before we're deceived by it. And we wind up seeing, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to push that to the side because I like this place of joy. Hey, have you ever just said, hallelujah? And just said, man, that felt good. That felt good. I do that sometimes. I said, man, that felt good. Tyler used to ride in the back of the car in the car seat. This is when he was young. And we sit in the car. I say, hallelujah. And he said, hallelujah. I said, glory to God. He said, glory to God. I said, thank you, Jesus. He go, thank you, Jesus. And we do that for a while, and I get feeling good, and I get loud. And finally, after a while, he said, can we quit doing that now? But, you know, when you get carried away, you get carried away.
Yes.
One of the things, it helps us to see our true identity and how that we are empowered by God, because we start feeling that strength. There's a strengthening, a quickening to it. In Romans 15 and 13, I'm just going to read it. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, hope, another way of saying hope there is expectation. So the God of expectation fill you with all joy and fill you with all peace while you're believing. That way, you'll be able to abound in expectation through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that place of joy and rejoicing, it's a sign of faith. So if you're not in joy, there's a good chance whatever you think you're in faith about, you're not in faith about. And that's one of the things I started noticing in my life. I was like, now where's my joy at? Am I really believing? Because if I'm believing and I'm expecting from God, then I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have peace. When we're rejoicing, we're always putting God before us, what he's done in our minds and in our mouth. And so we're almost, it's like we're reiterating the word of who God is and what he's already done for us in our mouth. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when we begin to praise God because, God, you're faithful here, you'll be faithful now. God, you are my provider. You're my healer. You're my redeemer. Everything that I need, you take care of me. We're reiterating that word and we're putting it back into us. And so it stays before us and faith builds in us.
Yes, hallelujah.
Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So that's a daily thing we need to do.
Yes.
Always. That's what the Bible says. It says, rejoice always. I believe that God had a plan. He wanted us to be victorious.
Hallelujah.
And the way that we're going to be victorious is we're going to have to take a stance of joy. We're going to have to take a stance of rejoicing. One of the things that rejoicing does is, and I've seen it in my life, I've seen it time after time, and sometimes I've been hard-headed and not wanting to take that place of joy because sometimes it's like, man, I just want to have that pity party. But it ain't doing nobody no good to have that pity party where I want some attention. But one of the things it'll do is if I'm rejoicing and praising God on a constant daily basis, it gives me a momentum. I get built up, and I'm strong in the Lord. I'm getting strengthened because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I'm getting strengthened, and I got a momentum. And then when I encounter an obstacle, I've got a momentum to go over it. That obstacle might slow me down a little bit, but it ain't going to stop me because I've got a momentum built up. Holly's heard me before on this, and it reminded me, I was thinking about it. Terry Trial and Vic Victor. Have you ever heard of Terry Trial and Vic Victor? No? Terry Trial. Hey, he was had a faith mobile. And his faith mobile, he didn't take care of it. And he had cobwebs in it. It was in rough shape. Now, in order for this faith mobile to go, it had a gauge. It had two gauges you had to watch. It had a joy gauge and it had a peace gauge. And his joy gauge and his peace gauge was most of the time real close to empty. And in order for that thing to go, he had to give it some joy and some rejoicing and get some peace back. But he didn't take care of it. He didn't take care of the faith mobile. He'd ride around and his tires were nearby bald. I mean, he just didn't take care of it. He didn't go, it was a four cylinder. He didn't go real fast in it. He was riding one day, he said, you know what? I think I'll go on a trip. So he was just praising God and rejoicing God. And then next thing you know, he done hit a pothole. And he's riding along and he said, well, that wasn't too bad. Then he hit another pothole. And then his joy started, he quit rejoicing. His joy started dropping. His peace started dropping. He got riding a little bit farther and he saw this road and the road turned bumpy. I reckon it was about like Newland Road. And he got riding in that old car, he didn't take care of it and the springs was about shot in it. So he's riding along and it's squeak, 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 squeak. And his peace gauge just went all the way down to empty just about. And his face had done turned flustered red. He's getting upset. He's lost his joy. And now he's grumbling and complaining about this road. I wish they'd fix this road. Why does my faith mobile have to go down this road? It's already about weak. It don't need anything else extra happening to it. So he's riding up and he looks and he said, oh no, here comes a hill. And the closer he got, the hill turned into a mountain. And he said, oh no, I don't know if I can make it over that. So he hits that mountain, and all of a sudden it slows him down. He was going about 45. He wasn't going so fast, and he slowed down. He's going about 10 miles an hour now. And it's all he can do to get up. He's in first gear. It's all he can do to get up that mountain. And he's going, and he's going, and he's going. And all of a sudden, he's like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And he says, help, help, somebody please help me. Help my faith mobile. I don't have enough joy. I don't have enough peace. I don't have enough faith to get up this mountain. So some few lonely souls come and they hear him. And they come and they get on the back of the car and they're pushing. And he's got one foot out like a flintstone, just just pedaling along, and it's all he can do, and he's grumbling, he's complaining, he's hot, he's tired, he's sweating. The AC don't give out in the faith mobile, and he's singing about how tough he's got. He said, "I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in." He's got all that he can do to get up, and the people behind him, they're basically carrying the weight, pushing that car, and he finally, just before dark, peaks the top of that mountain, and he coasts right on down the mountain, and he looks in, there's a faith filling station, so he pulls into that faith filling station, and he's just about in. And they said, "Wow," he said, "Hey, brother," said, "who are you?" He said, "My name's Vic Vickery. My name's Terry Trial." He said, "Terry," he said, "where'd you come from?" He said, "I come from the south back there." He said, "Let me tell you what kind of trip I went on." He said, "Man, I got started and things was going good. Then I hit this pothole and I hit that pothole. And then I got on this bumpy road. I didn't think it was ever going to stop, this bumpy road. Then all of a sudden, I didn't think it could get no worse. And I saw this mountain. And man, let me tell you, that was tough. I had to get help to get over that mountain." It's like, "Oh man." He's like, "I had people pushing me on the back. I was pedaling. My car was about to stop. It was about to give out." He said, "And I was sweating. Man, it was tough. It was the worst day I've ever had. The worst trip I've ever took." He said, I didn't think I was going to make it, but I finally made it. It was a miracle that I made it." They said, "Wow." They said, "Man, it's like, you sure did have a bad trip, a rough time." And they looked at that spot in the south. They said, "Man, anybody comes through there, they got a rough go of it." And then about a week later, Big Victor, he said, "You know what? I'm going to go on me a trip." Now, he had a faith mobile. Now, his faith mobile was clean. I mean, he took that thing and he'd get out there and he polished that thing. He said, "Man," he said, "this thing looks nice." He said, "It's sharp." He said, "Man, I'm rejoicing. I'm daily praying in the spirit, building myself up on my most holy faith." He said, when I get going, he said, "Man, I fly." He said, "Can't nobody catch me. My joy gauge is always full and my peace gauge is always full. I'm rejoicing and praising God night and day." He said, "Man," he said, "I think I'm going to go on a trip." So he decides, he said, "You know what? Let's go." So he takes off and everything's going good. He's just worshiping God, praising God. And all of a sudden, he hits a pothole. He said, "Oh, that ain't nothing." He just give it a little bit more gas and just rejoice a little bit more. Next thing you know, he hit the bumpy road. And he gave it so much gas, he was just about floating over that bumpy road. Now, I've been down Newland. I've been like that before. Don't tell me, please. It was a while back. But he was just going up that mountain. He wound up seeing that mountain. He said, "Oh man," he said, "that's a big mountain." Now he's going about 95 miles an hour at this point, just praising God, rejoicing. He said, "Man," he said, "God is good. God is good. Hallelujah." And he saw that mountain. He said, "Oh, that ain't, they call that a mountain on the sign, but that ain't no mountain. That's a little hill." He said, "That ain't nothing for my guy." He downshifted one time, brought him down about 75. He said, "You know what I got is?" He said, "My guy's good. My God will take me over to the other side." And he's cruising on up that mountain. And you can hear something over at the faith filling station. They're looking over there. "Whoa, something going on over there. You hear that mutter?" And he's singing, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." He's Big Victory. He got the victory. He's singing about victory. He ain't singing about defeat. He ain't singing about the rough side of the mountain. He's singing about victory. And he's coming up over that mountain. And when he gets to the top of that mountain, you hear him, "Hallelujah!" And they're like, "Wow, I wonder who that is." And he said, "Oh, there's a faith filling station. I'll pull on in there." And he pulls in there and he said, "Man." He said, I said, "Wow." I said, "That's a nice faith mobile you got." It's like, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Vic Baker." He said, "Well, where'd you come from?" He said, "I come from the south back there." He said, "From the south back there?" He said, "You come over that big, horrible, terrible mountain?" "What are you talking about? You know that all them potholes and that bumpy road and that big, terrible mountain? You come over that?" talking about? I mean, there was a few little things, but it wasn't no big deal. He said, that little hill back there, I went over, I was like, it dropped me down to about 75, but that was all. Like, it wasn't nothing. I serve a good God. My God takes me over. I was constantly rejoicing and praising God, and they were just all in awe. And that's what happens a lot of times. We get in that vein of, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel so bad. I feel so awful. And we dwell on how bad we feel, and we think about how rough we have it. And then somebody else comes along, and you would never know that they're dealing with the same exact stuff that you was dealing with. Because that happened. They're rejoicing. They're talking about how good God is and how faithful he is. But they're going through the same exact thing as what you was going through. They might actually be going through a worse situation than what you were going through, but you never know it. But if you develop that attitude of rejoicing, that attitude of praise and thanksgiving, then it gives you a momentum. So when you hit that obstacle, you keep on going. And what Big Victory did is when he hit an obstacle, he increased his rejoicing. And that's what we got to do. We got to increase our rejoicing. I was laughing. I've been worshiping God and been praising God. I've been laughing. I get home and I dance in the spirit, or I dance in the flesh. And I'm dancing before the Lord, and I'm giving him my glory and my praise. But I'm sitting in that bathtub. Oh, God, how do I get it? How do I get it? I need it now. And I was dwelling on how bad it was. And I'm dwelling on what God has done and what he's going to do. You already got it, Curtis. You just got to draw it up. And that's what the Spirit was showing me. He said, you've already got it. There's a will within you. You've already got it, but you've got to draw it up. And the only way you're going to draw it up is if you get rid of that pity party. There's some things you got to let go of. You got to let go of the pain. You got to let go of your feelings. And you got to decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to rejoice. I got to rejoice by faith. Rejoice by faith. And that's one of the things we do is we say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I rejoice, and I rejoice, and I say, I got the victory. I got the victory. And there's something that happens. There's something that just comes up, and it, man, it makes you feel like you talk. Hallelujah. Y'all can do that a little bit more.
Hallelujah.
Make you feel like you talk. Johnny. You ain't think that was funny, did you, Johnny? Well, let's switch over. Proverbs 15:15. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. Yes. Now the Passion Translation reads it like this. It says, everything seems to go wrong when you feel weak and depressed. But when you choose to be cheerful, every day will bring you more and more joy and fullness. And there's a thing. You've got to choose joy. You've got to choose joy. And, I mean, most of the world and a lot of the church are constant grumblers and complainers. I ain't talking about nobody in here. I'm just saying a lot of people are that way. Proverbs 17:22. The King James says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The Passion Translation says, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Now, I don't know how much more clear it can be than that. If you got a broken spirit, you're going to struggle with sickness and depression. But if you got a cheerful heart, it brings healing to both your body and your soul. Joy has got healing in it. It's like, man. When I saw that, it's like, a cheerful heart's good like medicine. Why do you take medicine? To get feeling better, make you better. When you got an antibiotic, it's going to bring healing to you. But when you decide you're going to have a merry heart, you're going to be cheerful, it's going to bring healing to you. It's like, man, that is awesome. Like, I definitely need to incorporate that into my life. If the doctor says, hey, look, you need to take this pill 3 times a day, and then you'll get feeling better, And the Lord says, a merry heart is going to bring healing to you. Joy is going to bring healing to you. You ought to take joy every day. Mm-hmm. At least 3 times a day like you would that other pill. Yeah. Maybe more than that. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, what's the opposite of joy?
Sorrow.
Sorrow, sadness, depression. What's the opposite of strength?
Weakness.
So all that stuff's going to bring weakness. And we don't need any more of that in our lives. So we need to make joy our aim. Now the Bible doesn't say that we can't have sadness. Because there are things that if somebody dies, like you're going to be sad. If you stump your toe, it's going to hurt. It doesn't say you can't have sadness, but it says to move on from it. In 1 Samuel 16:1, it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now, here God's telling David, he said, look, you've been depressed for a long time, mourning over Saul. But I need you to let go of that sorrow because I got somewhere for you to go. But in order for you to go to this place, first you've got to let go of that sorrow. So I don't have a problem that you mourned. I have no problem that you were sad. But in order to get where I got for you to go, in order to do the work that I've called you to do, you got to let go of the mourning. You got to let go of the sorrow. And then for us to get to where God wants us to go, for us to do what He's called us to do, there's some things we got to let go of. This depression, this fear, anxiety, feeling of worry all the time, and just not rejoicing. Because heaven, I believe that the atmosphere of heaven is rejoicing, is joy. I mean, there ain't no sadness in heaven. There ain't no sickness, ain't no pain, ain't no death. So heaven is going to be a very joyful, great place. And for us to get to where God wants us to be, we've got to do some rejoicing. Matter of fact, and in talking about it, Psalms 30:4-5, it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You can be sad for a little bit. He said, you can even have all night to be sad about it. He said, but in the morning, turn that frown upside down. It's time to get happy. Joy comes in the morning. The joy of the Lord's our strength. It's healing to our bodies. But if we refuse to joy, then we're refusing strength from God. And I was like, man, it's like, God, it's like when I decide that I'm going to sulk and I'm going to feel bad and I'm not going to put forth that, because it takes effort. It takes effort to rejoice. It takes effort to joy, especially when you're not feeling like it. But when I decide that I'm not going to do it, I'm deciding that I'm not wanting strength from God. I'm saying, God, I don't want your help in this. And even though I might be begging and pleading for God, he said, look, I've already told you how to get it. I've already told you what to do. Rejoice. With joy, with rejoicing, you're going to draw water up out of the wells of salvation. One of the things, if we don't choose the joy, it makes us an easy target for the enemy. And that's what happened to me years ago, is I start off and I get deceived on different things. And then I get bogged down and depressed. And the enemy began to deceive me. And I wasn't getting that strength that I needed because I wasn't rejoicing. I wasn't praising God. And it made me weak. And because of that, it made me an easy target for the devil to just say, you know what? I ain't have my way with you here. I'll pluck you here. I'll pluck you there. I'll kick you all around. And that's something we got to get hold of and see in our lives, because we want to be victorious. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to bring it up real quick. I talked about it at the Edenson Church one time. I may have mentioned it here before. And I don't remember where the hospital is at, but it's called MD Anderson. They've got a hospital there, and they have learned that a merry heart does good like medicine. They may not realize that they got a Bible scripture that already said it years and years and years ago, but scientists and doctors, medical experts have figured out that, man, if people get this laughter, this attitude of just carefreeness and rejoicing. Now, they're not rejoicing over God. This is just in the natural, not a spiritual thing, just a natural thing. They realize that there is something there that causes people to get better. There's healing in this. There's healing in their laughter. So they started this yoga class for laughing. And I watched the videos that were about it, and it's like, it's actually kind of comical, you know? And these people get up there, and they teach them, say, because these are people that are stricken with cancer, all kinds of, like, bad sicknesses, that people say, you know what, that there's no getting out of that. Like, if you get this, like, you're in the last stages. But they teach these people, they go in these classes, and they say, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. They just begin to laugh. There's no jokes told, nothing extra. They just start to laugh. And they said, sometimes they take a problem and they pretend like they got it, and they say, all right, this is your problem, this is my problem, I'm throwing it in the floor, and then they go, pew, pew, pew. And then they laugh at it while they're flooding on, like they're shooting it, you know? And the people that were doing this began seeing positive results. There was healing, they were getting better. And they weren't even putting the spiritual side of it. But imagine what God's already laid out in His Word. He said, you know what? He's like, I got a spiritual side to this. Like, the world's just catching up to it now in the physical. And imagine all the healing and all the positive results that they're having in that. But if you take and you apply my word to it, my principles in it, and you begin to rejoice in me, because I am your healer, I am your strength, I'm your redeemer, then imagine the things that I'm going to do in your life. Imagine the things that it will bring about. And so that's what I do sometimes. As a ha, 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 ha. And sometimes I don't feel like it's good. I say, ha, 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 hallelujah, ha, 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 hallelujah, till I build myself up to where I can actually bring out a whole laugh. Because sometimes it's hard to laugh.
Thank you, Lord.
And David, when he first started doing it some, and I'd be around him, and he'd get to laughing. And then I'd listen to different people, and they would laugh. And Mark Hankins, he was big on teaching on laughing. I said, that's something I need to incorporate. Every time I did it, I felt so stupid. I felt so stupid laughing. Like, ain't nobody, I'd be by myself. Sitting in the truck. Boy, I felt stupid. But there's something that happened. As I started doing that, I started feeling life coming up in me. I mean, a strengthening. I was like, oh man, the Bible's true. Imagine that, the Bible's true. I'm getting strength from laughing. It's like, man, I want to laugh more. Let's laugh. Strengthen your body. Healing's going in your body when you laugh. Yeah. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. God is good. God is good. God is good. Ha 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 ha. So, what y'all doing in church tonight? We laughed. We laughed in church tonight. So God was giving us strength. He was giving us peace. Our joy gauge was getting full. Our peace gauge was getting full. And then the next obstacle that we encounter, we ain't gonna have a problem. We'll sail right over. Father, I ask that you just be with us as we go forward, reminding us to rejoice. Reminding us to rejoice. Because you've got some things you want to get to us. And some of that is only going to come through your glory. And your joy houses the glory of God. So when we begin to rejoice in you, we begin to experience your glory. And you're going to get some things to us that we couldn't get any other way. Because you want to get it to us through those wells of salvation that we're going to pull up by rejoicing. And Father, I ask that you keep this in our forefronts of our mind, that we remember these things. And if something comes and it tries to steal that joy and that peace and that attitude from us, that we'll recognize it. Because we've already cultivated a lifestyle of praise and worship and rejoicing in you. And we'll say, no, we don't want that. And we'll just begin to rejoice in you stronger, Father. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for the strengthening of your word. I thank you for that timely word that you give me at the right time so I could receive my strength and healing. In Jesus' name.